Good morning, everyone. I'm going to talk about a very familiar subject here. In fact, I know I've spoke on it several occasions, and well, I was praying and asking the Lord, you know, should I continue in Ephesians? What should I do? And I got back into Ephesians and nothing was clicking. And the other day, the text of Matthew came to my mind where Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" So I said, okay. These sermons go out over the internet, and I'm hopeful that there's going to be people out there that if they come across and listen to it, that it'll challenge them. The text is out of Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I thank you for those who were able to come out to hear your word this morning. Father, I just ask a special blessing on everyone here, that you will open our hearts and our ears, that you will encourage and instruct us from your word, and that we might, as Peter said, be ready to give an answer to the people that ask us the reason of the hope that we have. Please be with those who could not be here because of illness or other circumstances. I just ask that your touch be upon them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will increase and that I will decrease in the bringing of this message. It'll all be done for the glory of Jesus Christ, and it's in his name I ask it. Amen." All right, there was a lot of speculation and debate when Jesus of Nazareth walked this earth as to who he was. The historian Josephus wrote about him and said there was a man from Galilee, if it would be lawful to call him a man. And he said he went about doing great deeds, and he was a teacher and attracted people to him who loved righteousness. And Josephus said Pilate crucified him, but his followers stated that on the third day he was raised again. And he said the tribe called Christians is still extant to this day. Josephus was a Pharisee. So the reason I shared that with you, because historically Jesus is a historical figure. He's not a myth. Some people say, well, this Jesus is just a myth, the church made it. It's a historical fact. There's other historians who wrote about the man, Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus of Galilee. And Josephus, being a Pharisee, he never called him the Christ, but he said he claimed he was the Christ. His followers said he was the Christ. And Pilate crucified him and he raised again. To this day, there's a lot of debate and speculation about who Jesus is. Many in Jesus' day believed him to be a prophet who was sent from God because of the miracles he performed. You remember Nicodemus told him that. "We know you're a teacher come from God. Nobody can do what you do if God wasn't with him." But that's not enough to save you, to say Jesus is a prophet. They believed him to be the forerunner of the Messiah, many of them, such as Elijah, John the Baptist, raised from the dead. That's what Herod thought about Jesus, because he had beheaded John, and now he, when he heard of Jesus, he said, well, John must be raised from the dead, and now these miracles are at work. I don't know where people get these ideas, but that was one of the speculations. Some believed he was Elijah, who Malachi prophesied about, that would come before him, but we know the Lord said that was John the Baptist. Some believe he was Jeremiah, raised from the dead. In Jewish teaching, they taught that the Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah was one of them, would be raised from the dead and would reappear in Israel. So that's the reason someone said, well, maybe this is Jeremiah, because they believed that Jeremiah was going to come into Israel and show them where the hidden manna was, and God was going to establish his kingdom, then the Messiah would come. You know, we have all that going on today. Many people claiming they have divine revelations that are not divine. It's figments of their imagination. Paul called them unspiritual people, void of the Holy Spirit. Paul referred to it as doctrines of demons. And I know some people think, well, man, that's harsh. You don't have any right to say that. You're right. I don't as a man, but God says it. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating what he said in his word. Doctrines of demons. And Jesus and his men were going to Caesarea Philippi. They were known for pagan worship. There were a lot of Greeks in that area. And they're walking down the road, and Jesus has been performing miracles. He's raised some people from the dead, you know, open blind eyes, deaf ears, caused the mute to speak. And they're going to Caesarea, and Jesus looks at his guys, his 12, and he said, "Who do the people say I am?" They said, "Well, they think you're either Elijah or John the Baptist or Jeremiah." And it said they answered him. Then he said, "Who do you say I am?" And only one person answered. I see them guys stand there kind of toeing the dirt because they're not sure. And what's amazing to me, they left everything to follow this guy. They left their businesses, their wives, their children, their homes, and they're following him for 3 years, listening to his teaching, watching him minister. And Jesus just very, to me, point blank says, "Who do you think I am?" Peter goes, "Well, I think you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, you know from lessons we've done in here, the Christ means the anointed one. Kings were called Christ, Mashiachs. Priests were called Mashiachs, the anointed. That's the Hebrew, anointed. But the scriptures and the prophets taught there was coming an anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. And that's what Peter confessed to Jesus. He said, "You're the Christ. You're the one we've been waiting for." Well, the Lord say, "Peter, you're blessed because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you." You remember in another place, Jesus told the people, "No one can come to me unless God, who the Father who sent me, draws them unto me." And a lot of people stop right there and they say, predestination. If you was predestined to be saved, then you'll come to Christ. If you wasn't, you won't. But they don't go farther. Jesus said, "It is written, they shall all be taught by God. Whoever is taught by God will come to me." So Jesus was saying, if you understand the prophets, you understand the signs you're seeing now, you're going to come to me. Because you have been letting God instruct you, God is going to draw you to me. And I imagine Peter swelled up like a banty rooster. Yeah, did you hear that? He said, "I'm blessed." He didn't say you were blessed, "I'm blessed. I'm the first one that's called him the Christ." I just think Peter had that personality. He probably acted all humble, but on the inside, I think he was probably thinking, "Yeah, me and you, Lord." He was going to end up denying him. That's the sad part. Anyway, that is the question. That is the most important question any man or woman will answer in their lifetime. And it's a very important question. I told you I went to a seminar 20 years or so back, farther than that. Anyway, Dr. Norman Geiser was there, and he was talking about the 10 points that prove Christianity. And Dr. Geiser is a Calvinist, moderate Calvinist, and he's an apologist, has his doctorate, and intelligent man. I really enjoyed the seminar, but an Islamic student from the University of Missouri, in questions and answers, he said, "You got any questions?" He got up, and he didn't have questions, he had charges. And he was angry. And he said, "You Christians say Jesus is the son of Allah. We say Allah is one. He can't have a son. The Jews say Jesus was just a prophet. We believe he was just a prophet." And Dr. Geiser said, "Young man, it doesn't matter who you say he is, who we say he is. What matters is who did he say he is." He said, "That's what we base our faith on, and that's what you need to base our faith on." He goes, "Well, you Christians have tainted the Bible, so I don't read it." He goes, "Well, I don't know what to tell you." And that's the God's honest truth, church. If you don't believe that the Bible is the off-inspired, infallible Word of God, then there's no point in me trying to talk with you if you're not willing to go that way. I saw a young man who was a homosexual on a talk show, and he claimed to be a preacher. And there was another preacher on there, and he got up and started ragging on that preacher. "You don't have any right to call me a sinner." He said, "I didn't. The Bible does." And he said, the preacher said, "Do you believe the Bible's the infallible word of God?" And he said, "No, I don't." He said, "Then you and I don't have anything to talk about." He said, "We have no basis for a debate or an argument if you're not willing to concede that." So Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And that's still a pertinent question today. And if you talk to professing Christians, you'll be surprised sometimes at the answers you'll get to who they say Jesus is. And they say, "I'm a Christian, just like you." I told you one time I had a Mormon, two Mormons visiting with me, and I told them, "Well, I go to the Christian church," and they go, "Oh, then we're brothers." I said, "No, we're not." "No, I know the Jesus you talk about, and he ain't the Jesus of my Bible." They said, "Well, did you pray?" I said, "Yeah, God's the one that told me you were false prophets, so you're wasting your time. Don't stand here and try to, you know, lure me into your teachings." But they believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. Did he die on the cross for our sins? Yes. Is that what saves us? Well, you have to join our church. If you dig into their doctrine, they teach that Jesus was just a man. And I've heard Christians say this, profess, Jesus was just a man. And not only that, he was married to two Marys and Martha. And he had kids. Yeah, and if you press him on it, he wasn't raised from the dead, but he has descendants. One guy told me George Bush was one of them. So where are you getting that? What did the prophet Isaiah say? Who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. I.e., Jesus didn't have any descendants. Jesus never got married. Jesus is more than just a man. Okay? And I'm saying, I know you guys know this, and you're probably thinking I should have stayed home, watched the ball game, but these go out over the internet. And this needs to be talked about, because there's a lot of false Christ and false prophets in this country today. Jesus told us there was. So I think the Lord wanted this message brought because he wants them to consider that question, and they have to answer it. Who do you say Jesus is? It's a very important question. Your eternal security rests upon the answer. Yeah, it is that serious. Jesus said some very remarkable things that demand a verdict on our part. When he revealed himself at his hometown, you remember in Nazareth, he got up and read from the scriptures. He read from the prophet Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, part of 2. And you remember, it said he handed the scroll back to the attendant, and everybody looked at him. He goes, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing." What did Jesus just say? "I'm your Messiah." He very plainly, he read that prophecy and said, "This is fulfilled. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. I'm the guy you've been waiting for." Did they say, "Praise God, you're finally here"? No, it said they took him to a cliff the city was built on. They wanted to throw him off. So I guess we could say it wasn't well received. So Jesus, at that instance, very plainly revealed himself to the people he grew up around and said, "I'm your Messiah." And they took offense at it. In fact, they said, "Wait a minute, we know your dad, Joseph, and your mom, Mary, and we know your brothers and sisters. Who do you think you are?" So they thought he was guilty of blasphemy. Some say Jesus is an angel. Joseph Smith taught that. Charles Taze Russell, Jehovah's Witness, taught. I know you think, why do you pick on them so much? Because they're here. You know, they want around knocking on doors. I want to let you know that the Jesus they teach is not the Jesus of the Bible. There's no salvation in their doctrines. It's only damnation. And if you get deceived by that, you're going to get to share that eternity of eternal darkness in the lake of fire with these teachers. So, you know, don't receive the things that they teach you. The scriptures say, to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Why did the writer of Hebrews write that? They argue maybe about the second century AD, because there was a heresy in the church called the Arian heresy that taught Jesus was an angel who became a man. And I've told Jehovah's Witnesses, well, you know, Pastor Russell had this revelation that Jesus was an angel. I said, really, a guy named Arius had it in the second century. So it wasn't new, was it? I said, the early church stomped that out. You guys are just picking up the leftovers and trying to claim God gave this to you. I said, God didn't give you that revelation. Jehovah, they want to call him Jehovah, didn't give you that revelation. Who is Jesus? Well, he's a God. Is he Jehovah's son? Yeah, he's Jehovah's son. Did he die on the cross for our sins? Yes, he did. Is he God in the flesh? Nope. He was Michael the archangel. What did we just read in the scriptures? The Hebrew writer said, to which of the angels did God ever say, you're my son, today I've begotten you? See, they had this going on in the second century church. So this isn't new stuff. But it's very predominant today. I've talked to professed Christians that say, well, I believe Jesus was just a great prophet like Muhammad. And, you know, is that going to save you? No. Jesus was just a man. Is that going to save you? No. Jesus was an angel who became a man. Is that going to save you? No. It's a lie. Angels were created, were they not? Yeah. Jesus made a greater claim that about got him killed, but it wasn't his time to go. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Some teach that Jesus was just one of many prophets, as I said. What do the scriptures say? That's what we got to look at, church and folk, and I harp on that, and I'm going to harp on it till the day the Lord calls. What do the scriptures say? We could eliminate a lot of confusion if we would take that stance. When these teachers come to us, these false teachers, and I have a new revelation, progressive Christianity is one of the words. Well, you guys don't understand the Bible, but God finally showed us how to understand it. We want to teach you. No. What did the scriptures say? So some say Jesus was just a prophet, one of many prophets. He brought a revelation from God, but there's been other prophets since Jesus. That's the point they make. The writer of Hebrews again says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Is that just a prophet to you? No. These other organizations will tell you that, and I'll harp on this, but I'm going to harp on it. They say, well, you got to join our church or our organization and do what we tell you to do. You got to believe in Jesus, but you got to do this to be saved, have your sins forgiven. That's part of the Mormon atonement. That's part of the Jehovah's Witness atonement. You got to join our organization and do what we tell you to do, and your sins will be atoned for. Joseph Smith went as far as to say, if you see your brother in a sin and you have to kill him, because when you shed his blood will atone for his sins. Well, what about the blood of Jesus? Well, he has to shed his blood to atone for his sins. See what I'm getting at? What the Hebrew writer said, when he himself had made purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. What does that imply? It's done. There's nothing else to be done. Jesus shed his blood for our sins, and the Father said, sit here at my right hand. It's done. What did Jesus say on the cross? It's finished. The Greek, my understanding is some of the commentators said, the Greek, he said, it is accomplished or it is completed. And yet these teachers will say, well, it wasn't quite completed. You know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but Joseph Smith said, but you might have to shed that guy's blood. The example he gave, if I caught my brother and wife with my bed and I drove a javelin through them, it would guarantee they would go to heaven because I just shed their blood and atoned for their sins. People are teaching this. The writer of Hebrews said, no, Jesus by himself purified us from sin. And now he sat down at the right hand of the Father, waiting till all of his enemies would be made a footstool. What's the last enemy that will be made his footstool?
Death.
Yes, sir. And the Hebrew writer said, then the saying will be fulfilled. It says, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? Praise God. I'm looking forward to that. I like that song. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Yeah. I got an order in for a tall, good-looking one, but I'm going to get what I get. Jesus is God's final word. That's what the writer of Hebrews established. You have to understand, these heresies were going on in the second century. It's not new for us. And these people will tell you, these are new revelations. God gave this to so-and-so. God gave it, and these are brand new revelations. No, they're not. The devil's not an idiot. He just changes the name, backs up. He's very patient. And he goes, now, let's reintroduce this under this name, under this teaching. People go, oh, wow, that's a fresh new revelation. No, it's as old as man. So Jesus is God's final word for salvation. There's salvation in no one else. Some say Jesus was just a man. I said that earlier. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. What was the people's response? Well, praise God. No. They picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple. Why did they want to stone him? Because that was blasphemy, unless it was true. I am, in the Hebrew, when God told Moses, I am who I am, in the Hebrew, that means I'm the eternal one. I've always been here. I don't have a beginning, I don't have an end. Well, Jesus was just a man. He claimed to be the eternal one. The body of Jesus was created. I don't argue that at all. Jesus, the Word's always been here. Yeah. God bears witness to that in the Scriptures. We're going to see that here out of the book of Hebrews again. But Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, whoa, wait a minute, you just identified as God. Well, it's not blasphemy if it's true. According to the Scriptures, what does God say about his Son? Remember, we're talking about, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you believe that he is? The writer of Hebrews again writes, but of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years have no end. Eternal. If God the Father calls God the Son God, I don't have a problem with that. And I don't believe Jesus was blaspheming when he said, before Abraham was, I am. And by the way, he said, Abraham got to see my day. If you believe in soul sleep, I hope you'll consider this. No. Abraham saw the birth of Jesus Christ. He knew that was the promised seed. And Jesus said he was glad when he saw it. I don't know. I've had people say, well, when you die, you go into this unconscious state. I'm getting sidetracked, but I'll just briefly. The Bible doesn't teach that. I was talking to somebody just the other day about that. And she told me on Facebook, they said, you know, you Christians, Jesus is love, and you need to preach love. And Jesus didn't talk about hell, you know. I said, I don't know what book they're reading. Jesus said there were two men. One was rich, one was poor. The poor guy was laid at his gates begging for food, and he wouldn't give him anything. And when the rich man died, it said he was buried, and then in hell he lifted up his eyes. And he saw Abraham and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16. And he said, Father Abraham, let Lazarus dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. I am in torment in this fire. And Lazarus said, we can't do it. We can't come to you. You can't come to us. And I said, the next time you talk to this person, whoever you're talking to, ask them about Luke 16. Say, well, what do you do with that? This gay pride thing was going on. And I went by, and praise God, there was a church there that was there protesting peacefully. They had signs up, and that song leader, they were singing Amazing Grace, and this one lesbian woman was screaming at them. And they didn't break a step, and they just kept singing. I said, all right, I'm not stopping because I'm mouthy and I got a bad temper, and I know I don't need to be there. Some teach that Jesus is a God. Jehovah's Witness is one of them. The Mormons teach that all. He's a God. But you're a God, I'm a God, everybody's a God. You know, what did the scriptures say? John in Revelation saw the glorified Christ, and he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. In Isaiah 44:6, God said to Israel, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, beside me there is no God. You can't have two first and last. If Jesus would have been blaspheming, he'd have been kicked out of heaven as quick as Satan was for saying that to John. But how could he make that claim? Because that's who he is. Yeah. Jesus said, I'm closing with this. Yeah. Jesus said, I'm going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. He was talking to his people. He'd been teaching. And they were trying to argue with him, debate with him, especially the leaders, religious leaders. And he said, where I'm going, you can't come. Boy, what a sentence. He came from heaven. And he said, I'm leaving and I'm going back to heaven. You can't come. Wow. I wouldn't want to hear the Lord say that to me. Well, you can't come to heaven, Rick. And the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That's cut and dried, church. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I'm the person I claim to be, you can't be saved. And I had a grandmother I loved dearly, got into Jehovah's Witness. And I got to go to Wisconsin and visit with her before she died. And we talked about it. And she said, I don't want to hear it. I said, Granny, this is a cult. I gave her some tapes from a guy that had been with them for 30 years and came to Christ. She threw them in the trash. She said, they're the only church that ever came and checked on me. They're the only church that ever offered to have a Bible study in my house with me and teach me about Jehovah God. And I said, Granny, you've been lied to. And she said, I don't want to hear it. And she said, I don't believe in heaven and hell anyway. And I think the witnesses told her, if you die unsaved, you don't go to hell. You just go back to the grave for eternity. She said, that's what I'm comfortable with believing. Broke my heart. She was the kind of woman, if you were her neighbor and you were ill, she would cook for you, she would clean house, she would bathe you if she had to. The women. You talk about the servant's heart, but her heart was as hard as a millstone when it came to Jesus Christ. Do I believe she's in heaven? No. Not if she held on to that, what she held on to when I talked to her. Jesus said, unless you believe I'm the one I claim to be, you will die in your sins. And people hate hearing that. I hate to think of where she's at. I hate to think of what she's going through. But God arranged for her and I to get together. I went up to Wisconsin, spent some time with her, and he arranged for her and I to sit down at a table and talk about it. And she rejected it. She had some girlfriends come over for a Jehovah's Witness Bible study, and I said, can I come? She goes, no, I don't want you there. I know you. She said, it's going to turn into a debate. I said, they're teaching truth. I'm teaching truth. Let's just compare truth. She said, you go down in the basement. I don't want you here. I felt like a school kid that got sent to the principal's office. But hey, I did what I could do. Jesus said, if you don't believe I'm the one I claim to be, you'll die in your sins. Where does that leave the Mormons? Dead in their sins. Where does that leave Jehovah's Witness? Dead in their sins. Where does that leave the Buddhists? Dead in their sins. Where does that leave the Islamic people? Dead in their sins. They don't believe Jesus is the one he claimed to be. They believe in him, but they don't believe the claims that he made. Church, that's the most important question you have to ask yourself. And you have to settle in your own mind, who is Jesus of Nazareth? And when you make that choice, you pick a side and you stand on it. I'll say it for my grandmother, she did that. She just said, I don't believe the Jesus that you believe in. I never talked to her again. I said, okay. You know, I'm not going to bug you. I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to beg and plead with you. Okay. We see here in this closing text that Jesus told the Jews that if they didn't believe that he was their Christ, their Messiah, they were going to die in their sins. And it goes to everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. You remember in Hebrews it says, God has spoken in these last days through his Son. This is open to Jew and Gentile. The Bible says God used to wink at men's ignorance, but now he commands people to repent. God's not playing. God said, this is my final word. Here's my offer of salvation. Take it or leave it. And it's not open to your interpretation or mine. What do the scriptures say? Well, my Jesus wouldn't send anybody to hell. And you're looking at the wrong Jesus. They have a term for that, and I can't remember the name of it. I call it redefining. Redefining God. Peter and John, when they were before the Sanhedrin, the same ones that condemned Jesus to death, they had healed a man in the name of Jesus. The Lord healed him. But they were in trouble because they were preaching. And they pulled him in there and said, no, well, you know, we done got rid of your boss, man. We don't need you up here preaching. And this was their answer to them. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So, I know you know this. And as I said, you know, I've talked about this more than once here. I want to encourage you, don't back down from people. I remember a lady in one church I was in, talking about this. She goes, well, don't you think there'll be Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses in heaven? I said, if there is, God will have to apologize to Satan. So I said, let's do a little study on what they teach. Well, when we got done, she goes, no, you're right. Mm-mm. You believe in a false Christ, you follow false prophets, you're going to get their reward. That's cut and dry. I'm not saying you got to be ugly with these people. I have talked with them. I don't get ugly with them. You know, I don't say, well, you're going to hell. You know, it's just I present the truth, and if they say I don't believe it, okay. You can't save them all, church. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus promise that everybody is going to be saved. Nowhere. I told you about my dad. I shared with him 2 weeks before he died, and he said, I ain't afraid of God. Let him judge me. I ain't done anything I need to be ashamed of. And I said, okay. I said, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to answer for your life. He said, I don't care. I said, all right, Dad. Broke my heart. His funeral was one of the hardest I ever did. To reject the offer of salvation that God gives us and trade it for something else. I can't understand that. But I was in that position once myself. I was the kind of guy, I didn't want to hear about Jesus. I worked for that one carpenter and he goes, are you a Christian? I said, no, and I don't want to hear about it. okay. Well, he had another guy working for him that was a Christian. This guy was the contractor. And he goes, hey, what's Jesus Christ doing in your life? And I'm going, oh, you know, I'm just between them. I can't tell my boss, shut up. He kept his word. He didn't talk to me, but him and this other guy spent half the day talking about what Jesus Christ was doing in their lives. And we were roofing shingling a roof, and I kept thinking, if I throw this roofing hatchet like a tomahawk, I wonder if I could stick that guy right between the eyes. That's the way I felt. I don't want to hear about this. That's good for you, but I don't want anything to do with it. But praise God, one day God got a hold of me. I started reading my Bible again, and this one Christian had been witnessing said, you better be careful. You might end up getting saved. I said, yeah, I'm just reading, you know. But boy, one day the Spirit of God got a hold of me. What am I saying? There's always a chance, church. There's always a chance. Don't give up on people. But don't compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't compromise. Who do you say Jesus is? Amen. He's the Christ, the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. God the Word who came incarnate on the earth. He's our high priest. He intercedes for us. God said, you'll be a priest forever. That's a whole new priesthood. There's people still trying to teach the law and claim to be Christians. You know, but you got to be part of the priesthood. And there's only one priest, and that's Jesus Christ. The Aaronic priesthood is gone. You won't be justified by the works of the law. You'll be justified by faith in Jesus Christ and knowing and trusting who he is. And it was God's grace that allowed him to die on our behalf. Nothing we did. Christians ought to be the most humble people in the world, but sometimes I find we can be some of the most arrogant people in the world. We look at people that's in sin that we came out of, and we want to look down our noses. Or we go, well, I'd never would have done that. Yeah, but you'd have went to the same hell they did. Yeah. Who do you say Jesus is? And when you're talking to other people and they profess to be Christians and they start bringing you some sideways stuff, I have found through the years that's the best question you can ask them. Well, who do you think Jesus is? And if they don't say Jesus Christ is God who came in the flesh and died for our sins, then don't pay any attention to what they're telling you. I don't care how good it sounds. And know that they are not Christians. They're false prophets, deceivers, preaching a false Christ. I'm not saying don't witness to them, but I have found that all through the years. I've had a lot of people approach me and want to talk to me, and they get to talking sideways, and I go, well, now, wait a minute, who do you say Jesus is? Well, we think he was a prophet or an angel or, okay, this conversation's over, you know. Don't waste your time talking to me. Would you stand with me this morning? I praise God that I serve a God who died for me. Yeah. I told a professed Islam guy one time that was talking to me, I said, you know, I've read some of the Quran. Your God demands you kill people in his name. I said, my God died for me. Your God wants you to murder. My God laid his life down for me. And he goes, well, I used to be a Christian, but I converted to Islam. I said, okay, we're done. You know, there's no point in talking anymore.